is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
China, the property market, the collapse. The headlines right now. Evergrande reneges on multi-million-dollar pledge to Harvard-led COVID project. Another stumble in its ties to the school. I welcome Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, Evergrande made promises. It made pledges, and some of them were to Harvard University. Evergrande is now a notable example of a failure. What is the scale of the failure? Do we have any sense of it yet, Gordon? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, Beijing is trying to make sure that this landing for Evergrande is soft. And it can do that through a number of ways. But clearly, the problem is that Evergrande owes somewhere about $305 billion. And so it is going to be quite an effort to make sure that the Evergrande doesn't collapse the property sector and perhaps the rest of the Chinese economy. So Beijing's working pretty hard on this.
We welcome Ann Stevenson Yang, co-founder of J Capital Research Limited, our guide for many years on the Chinese property market. Ann, welcome back. It's a new year. I remember vividly the time that you explained to me that that Chinese city behind me with no particular residence whatsoever, a couple of fountains and unfinished buildings, that that was evidence of a bubble. And I thought at the time, well, that does look like a bubble. But then years went by until bang. Not only is Evergrande in the news, many other Chinese developers are in the news. Are they now paying the cost of those cities they built without people? Good evening to you, Ann.
Good evening, John, and thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, look, the first people to suffer in this are individuals, people who have bought those apartments that haven't been delivered yet. And there are something like 3 million of those that are purchased and not yet delivered. And then, you know, the next people to go are the ones who are invested in ancillary projects like the hospital project and a Brigham Young medical center that Evergrande was invested in Hainan Island, a bunch of things like that. But, you know, the whole it's way more than that. There's no, you know, China is going to keep pretending through the Olympics that it's actually OK, but it's not.
Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
And John started by talking about Evergrande not making good a pledge to Harvard. It would seem to me that from a political point of view, Harvard doesn't really matter to Beijing. But what does matter are the people you referred to, who are those who have put down payments for Evergrande apartments that may or may not see the apartments actually delivered. If you could talk a little bit about Beijing's political considerations and who gets paid from Evergrande and who doesn't.
To be honest, Gordon, I don't think that Beijing really cares a lot about individuals. They're easy to control. And this is one of those situations where if you don't hear about it, then you don't get as upset as you would otherwise. So if the apartments next door are dropping in value by 40% and you haven't even received yours yet, then you're going to get really upset. But if you don't know that the city next door has the same thing going on, then you think it's a local problem. And I think that's the way Beijing controls it. What they're really concerned about is the banks and external demand for iron ore and, all sorts of things that go into building these properties.
Evergrande's getting all the attention, Anne, but I've read and I've forgotten the names of other developers who are at least being questioned now. Is there an accounting that's more honest, more straightforward, more candid than before Evergrande?
I mean, the big problem, John, is that that all of these developers, whether it's Guangzhou RNF or Shermao or Greenland or Vanke, all of them include in their current assets, which is, you know, what keeps them afloat, the value of inventory. And the value of inventory is valued at so-called market price, which is significantly elevated over what they can really sell at. So as demand for property declines, and, you know, we've got purchases down by, you know, something like 28, 30, 35%, depending on where you are, and prices down as well, that means that all these developers are lacking in cash flow. So they're defaulting one after the other.
So what we have then is the beginning of a process. Evergrande is not an outlier. It is the first over the edge.
I think that's correct, John. And I think that they'll be sort of biting the bullet through the Olympics and trying to pretend that everything's all right. But by spring, things are going to look really nasty. And you can see this happening now in localities where they're starting to cut salaries of public officials because the localities aren't collecting taxes from property transactions. They're not collecting taxes from construction companies. Their revenue is dropping like a stone. So they're cutting people's salaries by up to 50% in some cases.
Gordon?
A couple days ago, Beijing's National Bureau of Statistics reported that the Chinese economy grew basically 4.0% in the last quarter of last year and 8.1% for the entire year. How can it be that the economy can be that robust, even though we're talking off a low base in 2020? How can the economy be that robust and still have the property problems we've been discussing, plus the problems that you talked about in terms of local government finances?
You know, I don't think that we can pay a whole lot of attention to the raw numbers that Beijing reports. What you really need to be thinking about, and we have no way to measure this with accurately, is what the underlying growth is without Beijing's reinvestment. And the underlying growth means, you know, what are people really earning and what are people really spending? And those numbers are not positive.
The concern also about this property collapse is the investor class, the people. I remember reading about a person who had put her life savings in an apartment that was not built. Are they restive in any way? And can you tell at this point, are they patiently waiting to get their monies back or believing that a magical thinking will somehow right the ship? What is going on across the vast landscape of investors?
Well, I mean, they are used to a lot of volatility in this sector, and I think there are a bunch of them who think that they can just hold on. But I also think that there isn't a lot of choice. If you talk to the wealth departments of the banks across China, you know, something like 60 to 70% of their wealth clients' assets are in physical property, not even property derivatives, but in physical property. So if there's no market for it, what are you going to do?
Well, you're going to complain. I think, Gordon, is complaining responsible? I understand there have been some upsets at offices.
Yeah, there have been scattered protests of people who have demanding that Evergrande make good on its promises, but they have not amounted to much, and they've been separated in time, which is also important for the regime.
You have a question for Anne, Gordon. We have about a minute.
And Country Garden, which is now China's largest property developer, is thought to be in good shape, but its stock got hammered a couple days ago. Where do you see Country Garden going?
You know, I haven't paid attention to that specific company, Gordon, so I can't say. It's definitely going to come from some separate business besides the sale of property straight, because the property market simply is dead.
When you say dead, Ann, does that mean there are no bidders, that people won't sell at the prices they look upon, that they're shocked? I mean, what does it actually look like? No transactions?
Well, what you have, John, in situations like this is you have a kind of freeze moment where the bid and the ask don't meet because the people who want to sell want much higher prices and the people who want to buy much want much lower prices. So everything kind of pauses for a moment and then you tend to go into a quick tumble. We haven't reached that stage yet, but we are at the freeze stage where transactions are really tumbling.
Ann Stephenson Yang, co-founder of J Capital Research Limited, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.